Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to Daily Drop-In Morning Show with the Teach Better team, where we are live every single morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It is a beautiful Wednesday morning, December 1st. Can you believe it? We made it to December, holy cow. We have a lot in store for you. Chelsea is with us. We have good news articles. We have celebrations. We have our theme this week that we'll continue to talk on. And don't forget, on Wednesdays, we also have a recommendation for you of a new podcast you can go check out to continue your exploration of what our theme has been this week. So go fill up your coffee cup. We'll be right back. Morning, morning, everyone. Welcome to Daily Drop-In. Good morning to you. We hope that your Wednesday is going well. It's just about to get better. Just wait. Chelsea, how are you this morning?
I'm so good. Now I get to see you again. I know it's not in person this time, but.
I know. It's so fun. We were actually able to secretly hang out about, what is it, like a month or 2 months ago. And it was so fun to be able to see you in person after like all this time. But I am excited to actually have a longer conversation with you this morning because we were running around like goofs when we saw each other. I don't know that we actually got a sufficient catch up.
That's right. We got to hug, but that was about it. It was like, okay. And then.
Exactly. For those of you who may not have followed that goofy story, when the Teach Better team, a few members went to go visit the venue of the upcoming Teach Better conference in 2022, nobody could know where we were because we hadn't announced the conference yet. We hadn't announced the location. We hadn't announced the date. Spoiler alert, those are out right now. So October 14th and 15th of 2022, we're having the Teach Better conference in Akron, Ohio. And so when we bumped into Chelsea at her school, because that is where the event is actually happening, which is like unreal. We were like running around the venue like goofs. So yes, it was so fun to be able to see you, but we need to catch up for sure.
Agreed.
It's interesting because I was looking when you logged on, your background looks like a typical classroom. Like you have this like beautiful big space behind you. Granted, it's a super large classroom. I love that style. But like, I know what's around the corner. I know when you go around the corner, the building is so neat. And so it's just fun for our, this is our little teaser for those of you that are interested in coming to the Teach Better Conference 2022. That's like what one of the possible rooms could look like.
Yes. You'll have to walk up a few flights of stairs.
Yes, right. Yeah, exactly. You did have a morning. You said you had to take an elevator up to your classroom, right?
Yeah, I did this morning. I cheated. I didn't walk up all six flights. But usually I bring my fifth graders up here for their first class of the day. So that's our morning exercise. It wakes them up.
Six flights of stairs. I hope that gives everybody a perspective of what this building looks like. It is not a teeny tiny building.
No.
Definitely not. You know, Chelsea, for people who may not be connected to you, I know, I feel like the Teach Better team, we talk about you all the time, so we assume everybody knows you, but in case people have not connected with you yet, don't know your background, aren't following you on social media, kind of who are you, what do you do in education?
Sure. I'm Chelsea Nicolino, and I teach eighth grade science. This is my seventh year teaching eighth grade science, and I also teach fifth grade digital literacy, so some like digital citizenship. Right now we're doing coding, and that just proves you don't have to be an expert in coding to teach coding. It's so fun though. I love it. They're so excited about it. But I think I got connected with the Teach Better team. I think it's my fourth year using the grid method. So that's pretty exciting. It doesn't seem that long ago.
You know, like third or fourth year. Do you know how you got connected? Like how did that process go? Because from all I know is that like meeting you was the one of the first few times I had met like a virtual friend in person, because we had met early enough in like my exploration to building a connected educator that you're always like very special to me.
I was gonna say, well, I actually got connected with the team through you actually seeing your face, or no, it was your Instagram. I was like obsessed and like mesmerized by your classroom. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's how I want my classroom run. So then I stumbled on your, I think it was your Weebly website. And
yes.
I was all things. And I was like, this is so cool. So then I took the grid method course, and my favorite, now that you talk about how we met in person, I think I discovered you, I think it was like in September. And then I think it was that June we actually got to meet. And you were my first internet friend I've ever met in person too. And so it was you and Jeff Gargis. And we were at a tech conference in Akron. And yes. I think we were in the lobby. And I was like, they're here somewhere. And so then you two popped around the corner and you were like looking. But I think you had my like Instagram page up and you're like, I think that's her.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I now vividly remember this like it was yesterday. You're right. We were at a conference and we kept talking about, we're like, our Instagram friend is here. We know our Instagram friend is here. And you're right. We were hunting for you. And didn't we interview you on the podcast? Wasn't that day? All of those things.
Yes. I think you were like, hey, I'm Ray. And Jeff's like, hey, I'm Jeff. And you're like, do you want to be on our podcast? And like literally like 2 seconds later, we were like ready to roll.
Okay. Now when you say it like that, it sounds like we were really creepy, but it was in a really like good means that we have been friends with you like virtually for, you know, however many months. And then you're right. We just bumped into you and it was like there was no introduction. It was like, yep, now we're meeting in person, but we've been friends for a long time. Come do this goofy thing with us.
And that's like the magic of everyone on the Teach Better team. Everyone I've met in person, it's like, I've never met you in person, but it's like, we know each other. Like when I met, I think Katie Miglin last month, my lights just went off. I was like, I've never met you in person, but this is awesome. And like, it's like, you know, people, you know?
Well, yeah. And you've met a lot of members of the Teach Better team, which is saying a lot. Cause I feel like in our Teach Better network, truly because of COVID, but also just because people are so far apart and all over the globe, not a lot of people have actually gotten to meet in real life. You've met, I feel like maybe that's a big statement. I think you've met the most Teach Better team members. If I was to actually like put money down and make a bet, because I know at least you've met me, Jeff, Chad, Dave, Katie, and Josh. That's a lot of Teach Better team members in one meeting.
It is. Yeah. That was just so surreal. Like, I'm like, everyone's here in one spot. And it was like, I just talked to Dave Schmidto probably like a month or two before that. And I'm like, here he is in person. Like he exists. He doesn't just live in Florida on a beach, which I'm super jealous about.
I mean, let's be honest, friends. He does just live in Florida on a beach. Okay, that's really interesting. So yeah, if you're listening now, we'd love to hear who you would love to meet in person. I think that there's a lot of our friends, especially because of COVID, we've been able to foster wonderful, beautiful, healthy relationships virtually. And there is a little bit of magic. And it doesn't like necessarily, it's not a massive change in the relationship, but there's a little bit of magic when you're able to meet them in real life. It becomes just that like 1% more real and authentic. I'm really excited. That's kind of why the Teach Better Conference to me is so exciting. Yes, the sessions are going to be great, but getting people together and actually seeing them in person and judging their heights. That's it, judging their heights.
Yes. I'm much shorter in person. All my students told me that last year. We were virtual for most of the year. And we came back and they looked at me and they're like, you looked taller online. I'm like, thank you. I'm like, yeah, I'm only 5'3". I'm shorter in real life.
Yeah, short girls, it's fine. Like we're embracing it. It's a big deal. Whereas like, okay, so we have a bunch of people in the comments right now. Chad and Jeff, I feel like were taller than I expected. Andrea is taller than I expected. Andrea is just like, beautiful, tall, leggy model. Just like, you just wait. Have you met Andrea in person?
No, not yet.
Just wait.
I'm excited.
She's one too. You see her and you're like, oh, Andrea, she's so phenomenal. I just saw her in person last week.
I'm so jealous. You live in the same state.
I know, that is true. We were at a training together, so that's so funny. Okay, so you've met a bunch of Teach Better team members. You've got connected. You use the grid method. Like, this has been quite a journey that you've been connected with the team. Now we're hosting the conference at your beautiful school, which we're so excited about. I mean, holy cow, it's kind of, I feel like if you went back and like tracked it, there's a lot of conversations and growth and just really interesting stories that have been along with your journey. And this is just one snapshot in your connected educator experience so far.
Yeah, it's been quite the journey. It's been so fun.
I will say, I see more of you posting on social media. I love following you on social media, especially Instagram. Like, you're my go-to person on Instagram. What's it been like for you fostering connections and like sharing insights and whatever on Instagram? Because that is something I feel like you've taken a shift over the last few months, sharing and sharing and sharing more?
Yes. Last year, since we were virtual, I would love, like, 2019, 2018, I shared a ton on there. And it was great, made like a lot of connections. And I felt like last year it kind of took a dip because I was like, I don't know what to share. Cause I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm teaching online. I've never done this before. I'm a grad student online. I never thought I would do that. And I felt like I was doing, and like I had my daughter too. So I was like, okay, so mother two now, this is all new. So I really didn't know what to share. But then yes, the last couple of months, I feel like I got my spark back, and I've just been so excited to be back with my students doing labs in person, which has been so fun. So I feel like, I don't know, a part of me like woke up and I'm like, I must share with the world like what we're doing in class, because that's my favorite thing to see on Instagram. And it's like, I don't care if like someone's like a math teacher or not even a science teacher, English, like I love seeing what other people are doing and when they just share their lessons. And eventually every year my students, but they find me. They're so good at finding you. And they're like, you have an Instagram account. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I said, you can follow me. And I'm like, you're just going to see a bunch of teaching stuff, which you probably already know because you're in my classroom. And I said, and like, you know, if you're not tired of seeing like my kids and like stuff and them. So it's pretty cool. And like, at first I was kind of like, do I let them follow me? I don't know what the boundary is here. And the more I thought about it, I'm like, well, you know, I teach digital literacy. What kind of digital literacy teacher would I be if I didn't show them like a positive influence on Instagram or any social media accounts? I'm like, you will never see me doing anything. I'm like, I try to be positive, but show like the real side of everything. So I was like, you know, I'll embrace it. And it's really fun too when they comment on things, and I don't know, it's like, it's fun to talk about with them too. And plus the other day we were in the lab and they're like, where'd you find this lesson? And I said, oh, well, I made this one. And they're like, oh. And I said, but yes, I do get some of my teaching ideas from Instagram. They're like, there it is. We knew it.
Well, I think that's so neat, because that debate, I mean, I heard it endlessly for years and years, especially as teachers were really getting on social media, really sharing the way that I've seen it now. I hope it only gets, you know, gets further. But is this concept of like, how do you balance sharing what's going on in your classroom? How do you balance wanting to share resources and collaborate with other educators, but then have students find you? And I like your approach of, you know, I'm teaching them digital citizenship. I am being responsible online. You know, they should be able to see what I'm doing. And I truly love your account. And I don't know why, I don't mean to like psychoanalyze it, but it is such a beautiful blending of getting to know you as a person, getting to see your family. You know, we always joke, we love your sunroom in your house. Like every time you go to that room, I'm like, oh, that's like my dream vacation, is to hang out in your sunroom in your home. But then like also so much teacher work and ideas and lessons. And I think that balance is hard to master. It's hard to kind of determine, especially when you're starting an account. But I just think there's so much there. It's cool to have your students be able to be part of it.
Yeah, it's been fun. And connecting with other educators, that is like my favorite part. I know when I first started on there, I was like, no one wants to talk to me. Like, I don't know how to do all this. And so the more I started reaching out and talking to people, I'm like, this is amazing. Like there's people, you know, you'll see other really big accounts like talk about how like, oh, and it seems like they're best friends with other like big account teachers on there too. And I'm like, I wonder how that happens. I just thought like, oh, the more popular you are, you just kind of like, I don't know, attract, or you're like a magnet.
The secret handshake.
And I'm like, how do you get in on this? And then the more, you know, people are like, just start DMing people, interact with their content. And like, seriously, that is like the biggest thing. I swear, like every time I watch Caitlin Giordano's stories, I have to interact. So I'm like, we are the same person. She just posted yesterday, I think it was The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel's coming back. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I was so excited. And I was like, I'm so excited. I was just talking to my husband the other day and we were like hypothesizing when it was going to come back, because it's been like a year, 2 years. I'm a cliffhanger too, that left us off on. So
I know. Oh no. So fun. So if you guys are not following Chelsea on social media, specifically Instagram, you have to go make sure you go follow her, because there's so much good stuff there. And I think so many educators want to build a platform that allows them to connect with other educators. And I like your suggestion of just follow them, just interact with their content, just direct message them. It sounds strange, but truly, like, that's how you would do it if you were all in a coffee shop together, all at a cocktail party together, you would walk up and make small talk, introduce yourself. And it's kind of like the same online.
Agreed. And everything you post is like something you can retweet. I know we're on Instagram, so you can like repost it or you share it to your story. I'm like, this is gold. Like everything you post is so good and so quotable.
Ugh, always good to share. I love being able to. I use the platforms differently. Are you mostly like on Instagram or are you dabbling with other platforms too? Because I use them all so differently. I kind of feel bad sometimes.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm on everything. I'm not on TikTok yet. But I was like, I mainly focus on Instagram and I feel terrible. I was so good. Like once in early 2020, when everything shut down, I kind of turned to Twitter. And it had taken me a while because I know you and Jeff were like, you should get on Twitter. I'm like, oh, okay. And I'll be honest, I dragged my feet because I'm like, I just don't understand like edgy Twitter. And then I got into it. I'm like, this is so good. I mean, if you want to talk about making connections, that is a very easy platform to make connections on.
That is true. So, so true. Anyway, well, if you're listening right now, friends, go follow Chelsea on Instagram and Twitter. And we are there to help foster connections. It's just fun to be able to see and engage with other people. So, so fun. Chelsea, I think we should transition into, we have a good news story. We have some holidays, kind of all that jazz. You ready for it?
I'm so ready.
All right, friends, we have some good news stories for you as well as some holidays. So get ready to celebrate. Chelsea, I have some holidays that I specifically didn't tell you about before we came live because I want an authentic relation, like a reaction. Are you ready for this?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. First off, are you a fan of peppermint bark?
I am if it's there. I don't go out and buy it, but it's pretty good.
Well, it is World Peppermint Bark Day. So that for sure, everybody should go get a sweet treat, a little bit of peppermint. I agree. I'm not a huge peppermint like bark person, but you're right. If it's like out on the table and I'm at like a family holiday party, absolutely sign me up. It's also World AIDS Day for those of you who want to bring some celebrations to your classroom to foster discussion. It's also Eat a Red Apple Day. Chelsea, are you an apple person?
Only if it's with peanut butter. I love apple picking, but I just can't eat just a plain apple. It has to have peanut butter with it.
With peanut butter. Okay. So is it like you get the apple and you're eating it like an apple, but then you take a knife and scoop the peanut butter on, or do you cut it up really nice and pretty?
I have like one of those, they're from IKEA. It's like one of those ones where it takes the core out and everything. Yeah. So I'll eat it in slices and dip it in peanut butter. So good.
That's a good one for sure. I like that. It's also National Package Protection Day. I know I was just telling you, I'm waiting on a package, guys. I think it's going to be lost and it's breaking my heart. So protect your packages. I don't know. I mean, if you guys are getting shipments to your house, this is National Protect Your Package Day. So something good there. We did note this, and I want this one to transition to the last one that really fosters discussion. Chelsea, I know these things about you, but just for our community, do you celebrate the Christmas holiday?
I do, yes.
And are you somebody who will have Christmas lights?
Christmas lights?
Yeah, Christmas lights up like in your home or on the tree.
Yes. Okay. I was bad this year. I actually put it up before Thanksgiving. Usually I try to hold off.
Okay, so this is always the debate of when you light the Christmas light. So tell me your theory.
Well, before I had kids, I was like, nope, the Friday after Thanksgiving needs to have its moment. And I was like, we'll just wait. Or once I had kids, so my son's 3.5 now. So once I had him, I don't know what it is. There was a shift. I'm like, everything needs to be Christmas right after Halloween. And we do all the things. This year we actually, I mean, we have an artificial tree, but then my husband and I were like, you know what, let's go out and, you know, with our kids, we'll go chop down a live Christmas tree. I've not done that since I was a child. So it was super fun. It actually started snowing. I'm like, it was perfect. So that's been good. I was worried about the cat because we do have a cat. And I was like, I wonder how he'll do with the tree. He's been totally good. He's like, oh, there's a tree here. It's been my kids pulling all the ornaments off of it.
Yeah. But yeah. I've heard that cats and trees aren't a good mix, but I guess I don't have personal experience of that. Typically, like the cats want to get in the tree or climb the tree. Isn't that how that works?
Right. And then my cat, he just sits underneath it and he's like, okay, this is cool. You know, I thought my dog was going to drink out of the, you know, how you have to, you know, put water in the bowl at the bottom of it. Yeah. Growing up, I always had dogs and they always would drink the water out of the bowl. And so my dog has not. So she's been good with it so far.
Win-win. It sounds like you can do a real treat every single year. Make the commitment now.
Yes. Andrew said National Lampoon. I thought of that when my husband was cutting the netting off of it. I'm like, this is going to be a Clark Griswold moment. It's just going to take up the whole room.
See, that's what you want in a great Christmas tree. Here's the part that I'm confused about. Because I agree with your mindset in terms of Christmas lights. As many of you know, I don't have a Christmas tree that I don't celebrate the Christmas holiday. But I love celebrating with my friends and my family and all the good things. And I will say the Christmas lighting rules get debated every single year. And I think it's so funny because I love Christmas lights. Like walking through the little downtowns in my area that I live or anything, I just feel like it should be a rule that as many people as possible should put up Christmas lights because they're so fun to drive through the streets and see. Here's what I'm confused about. Obviously, this was something we discussed off air. The Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting is today, which we were discussing. Oh, they must light the Christmas tree on December 1st every single year. Today is Wednesday, December 1st. That will be so cool. I'm sure that will be all over the news that the tree's being lit. However, there is another holiday today that is World Christmas Lights Day, which says that this is the official day that the world is condoning Christmas lights being lit. And I'll tell you, I think everyone I know already has their Christmas lights up. I think that we all pulled the trigger too early.
I think so. It snowed here a couple weeks ago, and I was like, that's it. We'll put up the trees. I have like little trees for my kids, and so I put them in their room. And they're like, can we decorate it? I'm like, oh, I just got these out of the crawl space of the basement. That's enough work for today, kids. But we don't have any of our Christmas lights up outside yet. We're kind of waiting, and knock on wood, it looks like it's going to get up to 50 degrees in Ohio, I think, tomorrow. So maybe I'll convince my husband to put them up. We'll see. That's a big if. Oh, no, wait. Interims is tomorrow. So no, we won't be doing yet.
But I like this approach, like waiting, you know, maybe you get a few decorations out. You're waiting until December 1st, because that is apparently when you're allowed to. And then after that, you can officially string the lights. I like the concept of waiting for a warm day. I don't know anything about that. That makes sense. You want it to not be negative 15 out when you're putting Christmas lights on your home.
Well, I'll tell you, what was it? The first year I think we moved into our house, I think that was the coldest winter I remember, like probably my adult age. And we put up the Christmas lights in December. And I think they stayed there until March. Now, luckily, we didn't look like the crazy neighbors because it had snowed. It didn't stop snowing until I think March. Until that day, the snow melted. You could see the grass again. And we ran outside and took off. I mean, we wouldn't light them, of course, from like January to March, but we just took all the lights off. They're like, our neighbors probably think we're nuts and just forgot about them. But they think they were frozen to the bushes and to the house. I'm like, I don't think we could even pull them off. It was so cold out here.
Oh my gosh. Gotta love it. Well, I'm hoping that with today's holiday, we can see some Christmas lights driving through our neighborhoods officially. I'm just saying, December 1st, tonight's the night. If none of you have plans tonight, go put up your Christmas lights, light them. We want to see them outside. It's apparently okay today now that it's December 1st. So according to, you know, all the cool websites that we have. The last thing I wanted to mention with our good news story is kind of an interesting story about two friends. Well, two people that fostered a really wonderful friendship. Have you ever dialed the wrong number?
Yes.
Have you ever dialed the wrong number, like on the phone? I know people don't like make phone calls anymore, but like truly dialed the wrong number and got the wrong person on the other end?
Yes.
Okay.
I have.
What was your experience with that?
Well, I know as a kid, I would do it all the time. Like, you know, back when we would have to memorize phone numbers. So most of the time I was pretty good at it, but you know, every once in a while I'd hit the wrong number and you get the wrong person. And you know, as a little kid, you're kind of like, oh, I'm so sorry. And like you hang up the phone. I feel like I get that more like on the receiving end now. Like I still get people who are like, oh, I'm so sorry, wrong number.
Well, and it's interesting because I feel like when that happens, it's just based off of you saying hello. You know, you say hello and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I got the wrong person. You're like, how do you know? You don't. So I only said like one word. Maybe I'm the right person. Maybe you just don't know my voice.
Exactly.
I will say this article on today.com was really interesting because it's about a woman who lives in Florida, who's a little older in age, and she called a wrong number because she was trying to get a hold of her sister. She lives in Florida. Her sister lives in Rhode Island. So she was calling this number, and she kept calling and hanging up because she kept getting a man's voice. And so she was like, I'm just trying to reach my sister. She, you know, dialed the number over and over and over and thought that she must have been hitting the wrong button or anything in between. Finally, the guy, he says, after like the fourth call, he was like, how can I help you? Who are you trying to reach? Which was such a nice, aww, you know, like, offering. Long story short, these two friends have now fostered a friendship. And it's Mike and Gladys. Gladys is in her late 80s, and Mike is in his late 30s. And they have fostered a friendship for over 10 years. And they just met in person this past weekend. So, it's so sweet. She did, by the way, spoiler alert, did locate her sister. She just was, had a digit wrong. But he jokes that, you know, after getting these phone calls, simply asking, how can I help you? Do you need anything? Kind of fostered a wonderful friendship, to the extent in the article that it goes as far to say that, you know, she called him every week to check in and update on family. And even when she had, you know, like difficult times in her life, her son would call him and update him on what was going on in her life. So kind of a fun friendship. They were able to finally meet in person after 10 years. It's so crazy. Andrea brings up another story that I know has been in the news a bunch, which was about somebody who texted the wrong number around Thanksgiving, and they end up, now they spend Thanksgiving together for that. I think it was 6 years this year they've been spending Thanksgiving together after they were texting back and forth thinking that they were interacting with family members, and it actually was a stranger that had the number wrong. So those stories are always very interesting to me.
Yeah, it's so heartwarming. I'm like, how does this happen? Like, I understand, like, I don't know, I guess I understand like social media, but I'm like, oh, like just calling the wrong number or texting the wrong number. That's so sweet. I love that story.
I know. I love that they also chose to like create an experience out of it. It's so easy to, you know, like you get the wrong number twice, and then they call again and you're like, I'm just going to ignore the phone call, not engage. And this, this person saying, no, I'm going to engage. Can I be helpful? You're trying to contact, you know, fostering a friendship. That's so interesting. Are you a texting or phone call person in general?
Definitely a texter. I prefer texting.
Wait, tell me more. Cause I am not, I am a phone call person.
I'll make phone calls. Like I'm sure like if my mom's watching this or my grandma, they're like, well, Chelsea, you were on the phone with us for like an hour like this weekend. So, like just calling people and talking. So like, I think with family, like more so, especially, you know, if they live far away, I shouldn't say like my mom doesn't live far away. We were just talking about that before. Like they live like 15 minutes away from me. But like, if we haven't seen each other in a while, of course, we'll like just, you know, talk about all the things. But if I have family that lives far away, yeah, I prefer, it's nice talking on the phone with them. But I don't know, maybe it's the millennial in me. I just really enjoy texting. Now with, you know, with being on Zoom and Google Meet and everything, I feel like I've gotten much more comfortable with that way of talking now. It's so nice. I don't know why. I feel more comfortable doing that than FaceTiming for some reason. No, my kids love FaceTiming. Anytime they see me on the phone, they like, I'm like, oh, you know, talk to grandma. And they're like this. And I'm like, well, she can't see you right now. You're not FaceTiming. But that's just the world they live in.
Well, that's like the joke. Jeff and I, a few weeks ago, were talking about the symbol for phone. And we were like, is it like this or like this? Yeah. And I was like, this is not it. And it's funny, we were doing this back and forth on an episode of Daily Drop-In. And we had a few people over on Twitter that were like, we were listening to the podcast. We didn't know what hand gestures you were making. So we had to go look it up. It's so funny.
Oh, that is funny.
I will say I am more of a phone call person. I don't know why. I feel like texting, well, I actually could probably psychoanalyze it, but texting is wonderful if you like need to tell me something, need to check in, or like if it's a few messages, texting makes a ton of sense. But if you actually want to get into deep discussion, it's really hard to do it over texting for me. I think it's the text issue. Like it's the reading and the responding. It's so much easier to speak, I think, and listen when I'm in a dialogue with somebody. But yeah, I know that phone calls are going away. People are always like joking, like, you know, you could set your voicemail to say, this person will not respond back via phone call. Feel free to text them, right?
No, I will always listen to my voicemails. So if you ever leave me a voicemail, I'm not one of those people who are like, don't leave a voicemail. I love voicemails.
All right. In the comments, while we transition here to our brainstorm bank, we want to know if somebody was to reach out to you, do you want a phone call or do you want a text? We just want to know in the chat. Feel free to throw that in. Are you somebody who loves receiving texts? Are you somebody who prefers a phone call? We want to know, and we might have a surprise for you if you choose to participate today in the comments. So we'll see. We'll be right back for our brainstorm bank. All right, friends, we are here for our brainstorming segment of our daily drop. And you know that every single day, regardless of the day of the week, we like to do a silly little segment where we pause and just ask you, hey, friends, do you need anything? This is the time that you can post any question that you are currently wrestling with, like when to light your Christmas lights, or if you are currently thinking through something that you're trying to work through in your classroom, a lesson design decision or a way to support a student more effectively in the classroom, whether it be academically or behaviorally, we are here to brainstorm with you. Chelsea and I definitely do not say that we are going to have all the answers for you, but we're happy to try and point you in a direction so that you can continue to brainstorm a solution that is best for you and also best for your students. So please let us know in the chat if you ever, ever have a question. We're here to support you. You know, Chelsea, our theme this week is all about celebrations. And it's not quite celebrations that, like, currently, we always love celebrating people. But really, what celebrations do we want to do to end the year strong with our students and kick off the year of 2022 with a bang? And our theory was, if we talk about it now, then you have like 3 weeks until you're going to need to maybe execute some sort of celebration with your students. So when I say end of the year celebration, and I'm talking about calendar year, like December, do you have a typical go-to of how you like to kind of wrap the year up with students before winter break?
Well, usually around this time, I know at least in science, and we're a STEM school, we're wrapping up science fair, and it's a huge process. And so I especially this year want to kind of give them a celebration because it's their last year doing science fair at our middle school before they all, you know, go off into high school. And, you know, if anyone's in a science fair project, it's a huge deal and it's a lot of work. And we've been working on this since like, you know, almost day one since we came back to school. So I would love to do a celebration with them to be like, you did it. I know it was hard. I know we pushed through a lot of struggles, but I want to celebrate all the hard work that you did. Now, as far as what I want to do with that yet, I'm not quite sure. However, and I think you've done this before where you've done like almost like a glow day with your black lights. Cause I think you had black lights at one point too.
I did. Yeah. So, I got them through a grant. I love anything with black lights is always so fun.
Yeah. I keep promising. I'm like, I have these black lights, guys. I think we should do like a glow day and neon day one day. So I'm like, maybe that could be part of our celebration.
I love the idea for celebration because it does add, we talk all the time about really using like students' five senses when we're trying to engage them in anything. Doing any sort of celebration with glowing anything is going to engage so many senses. There's some games you could do with that. You could obviously get everybody glow sticks and the black lights can be turned on. That's a really fun one. Encourage everybody to like wear a really obnoxious color so that when the lights go off, like white or really bright pink or yellow, like that's always so fun.
Yes, I love it. I was so bummed I didn't get a chance to do it last year. I'm like, so maybe this year we'll go all out. Plus, the Dollar Tree has like those, no one knows, like the Dollar Tree has those little glow stick things and it's like 25 little ones for like a dollar. It's amazing.
Perfect. Oh, so fun. I think, and yeah, I've seen that a bunch. Obviously, for those of you who follow like the Ron Clark Academy, Hope and Wade King, they do a bunch of glow thing. Kim Bearden, it would be a wonderful person to go check out if you guys are looking for kind of like that glow idea that, I don't know, it's like the classroom transformation. Like, I love that stuff. But there's also some really great activities you can do, and you may not choose to do this for celebrations, but really great activities you can do where the glow day isn't a day away from content learning, but is a day that your students can just engage with content differently. For a celebration though, I totally see this like a game day. Like, I think that would be so fun.
That'd be so fun.
Do you have like those big Jenga blocks or anything like that? Because that is something you can use for a glow day.
I don't have the Jenga blocks yet. I have the mini ones, but I don't have the big ones. But I do have, I think a couple years ago, like Target Dollar Spot had a bunch of blow up stuff and it was like different games. So I got ring toss Now, it doesn't glow, so if I get the neon tape, that might help and have that glow. I had like neon spoons, so we did spoons one year, and like all everything's on like neon cardstock, so it glows in the dark, so that's been fun. I think what else I did the one year, but yeah, it was pretty fun.
I love that stuff. I think that would be so cool. Have you done anything in the past where you guys have chosen to wrap up the year, whether it's goal setting or reflecting, or, you know, does your school do any sort of like big celebration for students at the end of the school year? Or at the end of the calendar year, anything specific like that?
Usually before winter break, we would have, this is like, you know, pre-COVID, we would have a big dance. And so, you know, we would have a big dance in the gym. And not all of our students wanted to go to the dance. So we would always give them an option for you go to the dance or you could go. We had a game room. So we had a bunch of teachers that would like manage different games. They were really big into Foursquare and, you know, that big space that's, you know, downstairs in our school. I know you've seen it, but everyone else will see it soon. But we would just have like a bunch of games of Foursquare. I think we would have like a Wii set up so students can play on the Wii. And it was just really fun, or a bunch of different, you know, things for middle schoolers to do. And sometimes middle schoolers, they're like, we just want to hang out with our friends. And so we gave them the space to just chat, do what they wanted to do with their friends. And of course, we served pizza, which is always, you know, if you feed a middle schooler, it's like the best thing ever.
I just want to know, like, does that mean we're doing a Foursquare competition at Teach Better Conference 2022? Because I've not played Foursquare since I was in elementary school, but I'm committed to becoming a champion if we're all competing at Foursquare.
That would be so fun, like a brain breaker or something, like in between sessions, just play Foursquare downstairs.
Yes, I think somebody write that down. Somebody write that down. We're doing Foursquare at the Teach Better Conference. That sounds so good. Any of those games, it's always fun to do games. And what I love about games, specifically at the end of the year, is just getting your students to interact with each other in a safe way, of course, but away from their computers, away from their content. There are so many different collaboration skills and essential skills that our students can practice without engaging with core content. So Foursquare is a, you know, perfect example of getting students to interact and collaborate and engage and laugh together, but isn't necessarily related to content. So I love that. But I've seen a ton of school dances before at the end of the calendar year. That makes sense. I know a lot of schools aren't quite doing that yet with COVID, but again, good ideas just to get people together, dancing, all that fun stuff. We do have a comment in the chat that I think we have time to address. So I want to make sure we get to this first. Van is in the comments. Hey, Van, good morning. Good to hear from you, buddy. I feel like I haven't seen him in ages. So, Van, I hope you're doing well. I'd love to catch up. He's saying here, so many students are not responding to intervention to encourage improving their performance. They seem to still be stuck in pandemic, non-performance mode. Even reaching out to parents has been fruitless. Any ideas? So he's just looking to brainstorm. I'm trying to support my students. They're not necessarily responding to the interventions that I'm doing. It doesn't feel like I'm getting anywhere. Any thoughts on that, Chelsea?
Oh, it's such a good question because I think I'm running into the same thing too. I love that, Van, that you've been reaching out to parents too. And I'm sorry that you haven't seen your parents respond back yet, but it seems like you're doing all the things too. I know a lot of times when I run into this, I'm sure you probably have tried like one-on-one with students, maybe conferencing. I've kind of tried using like buddy systems with my students too, buddying them up with somebody, which seems to be like working out as well, where it's almost like a mentorship thing and they'll just coach each other. I know it's our school, we also have a mentorship program. I'm not sure if your school has that as well. That might also encourage students. I've also used in the past, if students aren't making as much progress, and I know you've tried reaching out with parents, but almost even we have, and actually I have it on my desk right now, we have a thing where it's like, you know, just touching base with the parents and letting them know, you know, what their student is doing and how they're doing in class, and maybe even like what their progress is in your class, their grade. And I always have like a checklist of like, what can you do to support your learner and where to find those things. And I'm big on email. I love emailing. I even sometimes make video emails for parents too. If they just need like, if they want to sit and read, they just need a really quick check-in to see my face talking. But I've found even like hard copy, this works really well too. Like student physically send this home with their parents so they can read it and sign it and know how to help their student.
You know, Chelsea, there's so many suggestions you just gave there, but one of the things I really identify with is giving really specific suggestions to foster a community to support the child, right? So yes, you want the student themselves to be, you know, encouraged and motivated to pursue more and really respond to the work that you're trying to do, but bringing in peers, bringing in parents. I love that you're talking about the checklist. That's a great opportunity for you to say, yes, it seems impossible now, but here are things you can do that you can check off truly, like try and go and do these specific things. Kind of feels like you're moving. I think the toughest part about some interventions is that we don't always allow the student to see why and how we are working towards whatever we're working towards. And when you can actually allow the student to see that they are progressing, or allow the parent to see we are getting things done, we're accomplishing these things, sometimes that is, you know, the special sauce to be able to see some response. But I also think that there's an element here of acknowledging that this is happening all over right now. You know, our students have gone through so much, and sometimes it feels like we're not moving and grooving forward. I think there is a reality to also giving ourselves permission to say, we are doing enough. They're just not responding yet to what we're doing. So what small tweaks can we do moving forward? So
I love that. Trippian is doing all the things. Like he brings such great conversations to everything. And I'm like, if he's struggling with this too, like, I know it's not just me. So that made me feel much better too. And I'm so glad you brought up, like, it's not just isolated in one classroom. It's happening all over. So I'm so glad we got to brainstorm this a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the checklist, Van. Let us know if you take advantage of any of these systems. We'd love to hear from you. Just know that there is not a secret potion or a right answer to this process. Every student needs something different. You just continuously brainstorming and asking the questions is actually the progress that is going to get us to where we need to be. So, like, thank you for putting that in the comments. Thank you for brainstorming with us. We'd love an update on how that goes as you continue to support these incredible learners in your classroom. You know, Chelsea, speaking of recommendations, we have some recommendations that we like to do on Wednesdays so that our viewers of Daily Drop-In can kind of continue their exploration in our themes and different ideas. So can we move into that really quick before we conclude our show together?
Absolutely.
All right, let's get into recommendations for this week. All right, friends, we're at the tail end of Daily Drop-In. I'm live with Chelsea, and we have been talking about so many different things. We want to make sure that on Wednesdays, we don't forget to give you a recommendation. This is a moment during our show that we have every single week where we get to say, hey, if you're engaging with this content, we not only want you connecting with our guests, we not only want you brainstorming with us, we not only want you participating in the comments, but if there's a way that you can continue your exploration far beyond this week, then hopefully we can continue to be better every single day. As many of you know, these topics cannot all be solved and dove into the way that they need to in just 5 shows. So our opportunity to continue our exploration in any theme or idea that we identify with so that we can continue to be better is extremely important. I know, Chelsea, we were brainstorming this before we went live of how do you talk about celebrating, ending the year strong, goal setting with students, creating memorable experiences for students so they can come back and really get ready for the year for 2022. And we came up with a pretty good recommendation that has to do with a podcast. Now, before I get to our recommendation for podcasts, I'd love for you to tell me a little bit about your experience with podcasts. I know you're a podcast listener. What are your go-to favorites?
Oh gosh, I love podcasts so much. Anything in the Teach Better Network. I know I usually listen to Joshua Stamper's Aspire to Lead podcast, Dave Schmidto's Lasting Learning, Daily Drop-In, because I know usually I'm driving into work, so I'll catch the Daily Drop-In when it drops later in the afternoon. Let's see. Oh, but then as far as like non-educational podcasts, I love this podcast called Pop Culture Happy Hour. I love listening to anything like analyzing different things. So they just kind of take, and I know we were talking earlier, they were talking about Adele's new album and just kind of like talking about what songs they liked and how she's exploring with her vocal cords and like different genres of music. I don't know. I love listening to things like that.
And don't you think sometimes you kind of need a variety in your podcast library? I do love listening to education things, but sometimes I get educationed out. I don't know how to phrase that. Like I've been thinking about education all day. I've been working with teachers all day. I've been working with students all day. At the end of the day, I just like can't consume anything else about education. I need a brain break. And it's nice to be able to have like other things to go to still consume, still learn, but just kind of like give yourself that break away from education. So what's that podcast again? Because I want to go look that one up.
It's called Pop Culture Happy Hour.
Pop Culture Happy Hour. That'll be a good yes. one. For it's all nice of you, if you were interested, you said it's short.
It's kind of like, yeah, like 20, maybe 30 minutes long. So like I'll listen to it while I'm washing the dishes. So it's kind of nice. Or drive home.
Yes, drive home is perfect. Oh, I'm a huge podcast listener in the car. Or like on a walk with the dogs, like throw in a headphone. And definitely like anytime I can listen to music, I usually turn towards a podcast instead. So super good. For those of you who are interested in consuming a education podcast, especially related to ending the year strong, fostering strong culture, Chelsea and I were talking about our friends, Hans and Jennifer Apple, are incredible educators over in the state of Washington. They do so many incredible things, one of which their biggest focus is really fostering cultures in school. Hans and Jen have been friends with the Teach Better team for ages, and I just love supporting their work. They both have multiple books out on this topic, and anytime we were talking about culture, they're my recommendation. So shout out to Hans and Jen. They have a podcast with the Teach Better Podcast Network. Actually, they were our second podcast we ever brought in to that podcast network. Now we're like 40 plus of podcasts that we love to recommend that we've connected with these incredible people and, you know, kind of like vetted their podcast episodes before bringing them onto the network. But Hans and Jen's podcast is called Award-Winning Culture. And that is an incredible podcast. They do so many different things. And what I love about their episodes, Chelsea, personally, is that they have strategies that you can go and take. They also ask questions that really get you thinking. And they share a little bit about their personal life. I love learning about them as people. They're wonderful people. They're married. And so there's like kind of like this other life that you also get to learn about them, not only their academic life, but also their life, you know, as kind of a power couple together, which is kind of cool. So definitely go check out Award-Winning Culture with Hans and Jen. Shout out to the continuous work that they continue to do. And I can only imagine the strategies that they have to end the year strong, because they are always thinking about how they can celebrate students. Definitely yes, very
such
cool.
A good podcast. That's a good one to listen to.
So good. For everyone here, we appreciate you being live with us on December 1st. I cannot believe we made it to December. We are here. We are about to have the best Wednesday ever. So we are thrilled that you chose to, in any way, like start your day with us, or even if you're listening to this after the fact on Teach Better Talk podcast, we're thrilled that you are listening. Thank you for being a part of our community. Chelsea, it was so fun to be able to catch up with you, talk shop a little bit. I'm so glad that you are doing well, and just I'm so thrilled that we're going to be able to all be together, I know, a year from now in October, so that we can be at your school for the Teach Better conference. So stinking cool.
Yes, I'm so glad. I'm so glad we're able to catch up on Daily Drop-In too.
So good. For everyone else, we wish you nothing but an incredible day. Please enjoy the last few sips of your coffee. Feel free to tag us and on social media if you have any questions. Chelsea is always sharing ideas, so definitely head over there to engage with her as well, especially Instagram. I'm telling you, that's a great, great platform for all of the ideas that Chelsea's sharing. And if you need anything, please feel free to reach out. We hope to hear from you. Otherwise, we will see you bright and early tomorrow morning for another episode of Daily Drop-In. And I guess I should also plug, don't forget about Brain Break tonight. Brain Break with Jeff and Dave, or whoever decides to show up to that. Congrats to Daily to Brain Break. That's always a fun time later this afternoon. So we'll see you later, friends. Have a good day.